This morning we will be singing more songs than usual, so I didn't put the song numbers on the board, but for those of you who use the book instead of the overhead, I'll try to give you a few minutes each time to find the songs in your book. The Apostle Paul said, we teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and I hope that our teaching this morning in song is effective and does bring glory to God. I mentioned several weeks ago or a few Sundays ago about being on a plane trip with and sitting next to a man who turned out was a pastor of a large Baptist church. And he was in a conversation as we were talking. He was telling me that the previous year at Easter, their music director had come to him with this elaborate program that he wanted to present. And he said, he told him, it really looks good and I think it'll be beautiful. He said, but we're not going to do it in a worship service. He said, that's too much like entertainment. And he said, we want our worship to glorify God. And so we're not here this morning to entertain. We're here to worship God and to glorify Him. First song is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. As we think about the story of Jesus, we're talking about the Son of God who came to earth. We talk about Jesus in His earthly form, and really the name Jesus is His human earthly name. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. We talk about the story of Jesus. We talk about a story that is based on love. Everything about the story of Jesus is about the love of God. It's about the love of Jesus for us. The passage that all of us are familiar with is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. A similar passage that John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the substitute sacrifice for our sins. Paul explains this in Ephesians chapter 2. They're beginning in verse 4 where he says, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. We'll sing number 646, The Love of God. Number 646. As we think about Jesus, we're reminded of so many things about Him. It was because of God's love that Jesus came to this earth, and He lived as one of us, being tempted in every way that we're tempted, and yet He did not sin. But He gave that perfect life as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin by His death on the cross, so that we might live with God in eternity. Matt mentioned in his prayer, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where we read that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus gave His life so that we might truly become more like God, and that we might truly have this promise of eternal life. In Romans chapter 5, beginning there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says that while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we're saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What a wonderful thing to be able to have our sins forgiven, not because of what we have done in some bold way or what we have accomplished, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing number 444. We'll sing all three verses down to the chorus and then sing the chorus only one time after the third verse. Number 444. We also need to know that it was not just the love of God the Father on our behalf, but it was also the love of Jesus and the love that He had for us. He gave Himself willingly for us out of love. We read in Philippians 2, you remember, beginning about verse 5, that Jesus gave up all the glories of heaven. He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to. But He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in likeness like man. And He suffered for us in obedience, even to the point of death on the cross. Jesus did not have to die for our sins. God told Him to. It was God's plan, but Jesus could have said no. In fact, Jesus Himself tells us in John chapter 10, there in verses 17 and 18, He says, "For this reason the Father loves Me, because I lay down My life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from Me, but I lay it down on My own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from My Father." Jesus said, "It's up to Me to do that. And I am the one that chose to do it." We're going to sing number 621, 10,000 Angels. Jesus, when He was on trial, told Pilate that His kingdom was not of this world. He said, "If My kingdom were of this world, then My servants would fight." He said, "I could call angels from heaven and they could destroy everything that's here that opposes Me." But He did the will of the Father by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He lives. Of everything that is written, both in Scripture as well as in all of the books by humans, there is nothing that is more profound nor more important than the simple statement that Jesus lives. As we think about this Easter Sunday and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have to study about His eternity. We study about the love of God that sent Him from heaven to live as a man. We have to consider His death and His burial. But it is His resurrection that sets Him apart from every other religious leader of every age of all eternity. Jesus lives. He's not dead. You see, the women went to the tomb looking for Jesus on that Sunday morning. But the angel said, "He's not here. He has risen." And so God raised Him from the dead, and in so doing so, Jesus has overcome the power of death and the power of sin, not just for Himself, but for you and me, so that we might have eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verses 3 and 4, As Peter is introducing that book, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." The salvation that we have, the hope that we have, the promise that we have, and the reservation in heaven that we have is all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul deals with this subject extensively in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because of our time constraints, I'm not going to discuss the entire chapter. But the first five verses, he says, "I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now here's the word that he preached. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. You see, Paul says you need to understand the fact that this gospel is based on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dropping down to verse 12, in that same chapter, we read, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" And here's the point that is so important. He says, "But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain." Going then to verse 20, he declares there, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." It is on the fact of the resurrection that all of our hope in God and all of our hope in heaven exists. It is because of the resurrection. We'll sing number 408, "Low in the Grave." Next song will be number 220, "I Serve a Risen Savior." For those who are in Christ, the fact that Jesus has been raised and lives is the basis of our hope, and it's the reason that we live for Him. But not everyone here this morning is in Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are here that are not Christians this morning, the resurrection of Jesus is a promise that there will be a judgment in which all of us will face God. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, we read, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment." If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in verse 50, he said, "I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you've never begun that journey of living for God, you need to understand that you're going to face God when you leave this life. And there will be a judgment. The judgment is a simple judgment because either you are in Christ and you have your sins forgiven, or you're not in Christ and you do not have your sins forgiven. And Paul says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You see, you need to make sure that you're going to heaven. And so this morning, if you're here and you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.